What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the best hair in the business, FM3 underscore himself, Fran Mirabella. How are you, Fran?
Good morning, sir. Glad to be here. You know, I never get to be on a show with you.
I know,
you're
it's rare.
Busy doing other stuff, so it's a pleasure.
I know. Well, yeah, you're always like, you know, you're our bat girl. Whenever somebody goes down, you're the first one I have swing in to do it. But usually
that's
I'm
right.
The one getting pulled on some other show or doing something else or working too many things.
What's that make Imran then? I don't know.
Imran is like Commissioner Gordon.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Because he's here a lot. He's got a regular spot in there, and he's there, and he gives out the tasks to
he's
me.
Always
he,
you don't think he's more of a Nightwing? You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I'm
very much thinking of the 66 Batman. That's where this is all coming. Because remember, of course, in 66 Batman, if you saw Batgirl ride across on her Batcycle at the beginning, that meant it was going to be a Batgirl episode. That
I
was always exciting.
Not made any comic analogy whatsoever.
No, you're fine. Now, if you wanted to get into the more deeper DC,
let's talk about
it. You know what I mean? Then, yeah, I guess then we get into a weird thing. Yeah, of like, I don't understand. Like, because it's even like, does that make me and Blessing? And like, am I Batman and he's Robin? Is that what we're saying? Like, is that where we're starting this from? Where does that put Tim? Tim would be more like Nightwing, right? Because like, he's clutch to it, but he's graduated, moved on. And that's the thing. I thought Kevin would be offended because I think Kevin, honestly, if we're going with this kind of analogy,
is
more
Alfred?
Commissioner Gordon. Oh shit! You're right.
Yeah,
he is Alfred.
Definitely Alfred. But like, I'm
he's definitely Alfred.
I don't know if I'm. Well, I guess Alfred in the 66 Batman. He's putting on the face cover.
The domino mask.
The domino mask and running around. Yeah. I imagine he's doing stuff. I never watched the show.
You watched the movie though. I mean,
yeah. Friends, you watched the show. You're kind of old. You're pretty old.
I watched the cartoon. If that's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's talking about the 66 Batman, Adam West.
Fran, you were an adult when the cartoon was out.
Yeah.
Because I watched the cartoon.
That's why it surprised me you were asking about a show.
Fran had been at IGN for 4 years when Batman the Animated Series debuted.
I did not grow up in the 60s, just FYI.
Are you sure?
Here's what I know.
Math,
you grew up in Joliet, Illinois, all right? I know
that's
you were getting the same 66 reruns on the weekend that I was watching.
Totally.
Exactly. That was all about Fran. So we haven't done a show in a long time. How you been doing? Yeah. What have you been playing? What's going on?
Dude, it's crazy. We were playing so much Avengers and then it kind of started to peter out a little bit, waiting for that AIM Lab to drop, you know?
Still hasn't dropped. You played it like a month and a half ago. Secret Labs, still not out. Huh, that's weird.
It leaked, of course. But then, man, Ghosts of Tsushima. I just cannot believe.
How deep into Legends are you?
As far as you could possibly go. I'm at the point where I'm rerunning the same mission over and over again, trying to get something, a legendary blow dart that I don't need because there's nothing for me left to do other than actually help with the raid and do the raid.
So, yeah, you've beaten the raid, right?
Yeah, did it the first day. I did it with my Destiny crew. So we've raided together before. Honestly, it wasn't really like a sweaty world's first race. It was just a lot of fun. Like literally in the middle of the race, these are the types of people that will. So there's like platforms that you have to trigger to get people to jump on, right? And so you're doing one thing and Fran's going to go jump on the platform. And they step off the platform in the middle of like trying to do it for the first time and just fall to my death. So anyway, I'm preluding this because it took me about 12 hours. They actually dropped off right at the last encounter because it was like, 1 a.m. in the morning. But I'm like, you know what?
See, this was my thing.
Of course,
you can go
finish this.
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch Blessing start the raid with his crew. That's up under Kind of Funny Gameplay. And when he was getting into it, I was like, how long are you expecting? Because obviously when you put the word raid on it, when you say raid, to me, that brings up all these Destiny memories of sitting there for 6 hours and failing and not even getting to the last wave or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it that intense? 12 hours, it sounds like it is.
Playing a lot of Destiny, I've done a lot of raids at this point, and just because what Legends is, right, I'm like, I think it surprised everybody. So if you haven't checked it out and you like, looters at all, I mean, it's a really nice grind. I describe it as, it's not a drip feed like, games like Destiny where it, like over 3 months, it takes you forever just to get to one thing or to get one thing. It happens fast, so it's a lot of fun. But anyway, where I'm going with this, even though it is really nice done, I still didn't expect the raid to be this deep.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went in thinking maybe 4 or 5 hours because of not knowing it, right? The first time you do it, especially just there's something about doing it for the first time with everybody. There's this... like stuff you hear through osmosis, I would say, like little things will make it your way that I think make it easier for people who play it after the world's first people. But Anyway, going in, doing it blind, it's crazy deep. The first chapter wasn't too bad, 3 or 4 hours maybe. And then the second chapter was a doozy. That was like 6 hours. And then it goes to the third chapter, which that part was only about 90 minutes or something once I finally got into it. But it was a lot.
It's awesome great. Way. I'm glad it got you because, I mean, I know you are we joke around about it, of course, but you're big on games as services, right? You're big on looter shooters and grinds and all that jazz. So when this came around, it was such a weird thing for Sucker Punch, I think, to say that, hey, we're doing, you know, this game that's this single player thing that everybody loves. We're putting this multiplayer mode in. And then not only to have it be really well done in a really interesting way to tell the story again, to have so much depth to it, to play the story 3 times, right? To get ready for this raid and have this weird rollout that's filling this gap right before next gen.
Yeah, it really, the game in my mind was already, you know, an awesome game of the year contender. They did such a killer job with it. You know, have some like light feedback on where I would have liked the last chapter in the main campaign to go. But for this to come out, I just never expected something like this. I mean, it's effectively like nice. It's effectively like the beginning of a really well done looter. And, you know, it's a small slice with this really nicely done raid. And it's crazy to look at it. You're like, wait, you nailed this, like, Sony's version of their Assassin's Creed kind of mixed with, I don't know, some other games in there. But they have this beautiful, huge open world. And then on top of it, to be like, oh, and also we kind of made this, like, really nicely done looter with these perks on all these items with 4 different classes. And I was just like... You know, now it's way up there as Game of the Year contender for me. Just
hell
so
yeah,
well
dude.
Done. Yeah, dude. Sucker Punch, crushing it.
Great job, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about some other video game stuff. Like the PlayStation 5 having how much storage? Fortnite might be giving away Disney Plus for free. And Yakuza Like a Dragons are rolling in. All this and more because this is kinda... Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can, of course, ask us questions. You can put in your squad up requests. You can be part of the show. But, of course, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. And most importantly, you can get it free of those ads, like I already said, but I'm saying it again just to put it out there. Remember, you could be doing a bunch of stuff like that. But if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, it's no big deal. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Rooster Teeth, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Let's give you some housekeeping. Believe it or not, it may be a pandemic, it may be work from home, but Extra Life is still happening. That's right, our annual fundraiser for the big, beautiful kids over at UCSF Benioff Hospital is happening this Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific to 10 p.m. Pacific. You can catch Kinda Funny Shenanigans for 12 straight hours with a rotating stream of different goofballs coming in to do different goofy stuff to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Remember, right now, you can go to kindoffunny.com/extra life. You can join the Kinda Funny team. That means that you could raise money for your local children's hospital by playing video games and doing donations there. However, if you don't want to do that, you can, of course, go to kindoffunny.com/extra life and just straight up donate. It's easy. And then you can come watch the stream and see what we'll spin and do all the goofy ass shit we do all the time over there. So that's this Saturday, like I said. But remember, community streams start at 1 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We're hosting the Kinda Funny Best Friends as we lead up to Kinda Funny Extra Life 2020, 10 a.m. Pacific time. It's a busy week here at Kinda Funny, of course, as you would probably guess with a million things going on. So PS I Love You XOXO is posting this Friday as opposed to Tuesday. You probably already recognize that. And if you didn't know why, now you do. Plus, Rahul Kohli's We Have Cool Friends is up on We Have Cool Friends, youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast services around the globe. Thank you for making stuff like that possible to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Tom Bach. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got 5 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen.
Number one, let's start with what Fran Mirabella loves the most. Talking about disk space, how many gigabits are free on all these hard drives and solid state drives and whatnot.
Spreadsheet ready.
Number one on the Roper Report today is the PS5 storage has some space woes. This is Alessandro Barbosa over at GameSpot. The PlayStation 5 launches in just over a week on November 12th, but Sony still hasn't concretely stated just how much of the SSD will be available for you to install games on. According to at least one leak of the system information from a PlayStation 5, it's going to be just over 650 gigabytes. The PlayStation 5 ships with a custom 825 gigabyte SSD, but not all of that will be free for game installations. The console's operating system needs some of that space from the get-go. That's why a screenshot from a video showing the PS5 system menu shared by noted leaker Okami13 and reported by GamesRadar displays 648 gigabyte free out of a total 667 gigabytes available, which could include the space required for the free Astro's Playroom install. That's less than the Xbox Series X, but that was always likely due to the case. But that was always likely to be the case, considering the PS5's smaller SSD overall. The Xbox Series X ships with a 1 terabyte SSD, with its operating system reducing available storage down to 802 gigabytes. That means the PS5's OS is slightly more efficient when it comes to space required, but still doesn't leave you with a lot of room for large game installations. Both the Xbox Series X and PS5 support expandable SSD storage, but they approach the matter in two different ways. Microsoft has partnered with Seagate to develop plug-and-play SSD cards that slot into the back of the Xbox Series X and Series S, with 1 terabyte cards available at launch. Sony, however, is giving players the option to use the off-the-shelf NVMe SSDs to expand PS5 storage. These SSDs will need to be approved by Sony beforehand, and right now, this is Greg interjecting, right now, about a week from launch, the company still hasn't listed any compatible drives ahead of launch. Fran, Michael, Mirabella, how does this sit with you?
You didn't say the third.
You always say the third. Hey, come on.
You know, it all kind of adds up, I'd say. So if you look at, lay down those numbers, right, in the spreadsheet, and I mean, roughly speaking, right, if you're on the Xbox, you got a terabyte and 802 gigabytes of space usable. That's about 80%. Do the same math of this, you know, reported info by GamesRadar here, and the leaker, and it's about 78.5%. So, you know, meaning usable space seems to be like kind of add up. So one, I believe it sounds about right. And I don't know, I never really sat down to think about how many games I can install. You know, I think, you can't tell us the info, can you, Greg? But what is, like, what kind of install per game do you expect in gigabyte size? If you had to just guess, you know, are we talking most games are going to be in the 30 gigabyte size? Are they going
to
be in the,
look at him, he's typing 50 away. Gigabytes?
I'm googling what has been announced. I'm googling if anybody has this information.
Just tell us how much.
So here you go. I'm looking at the ladbible.com. Yeah, right. Ladbible.com. Spider-Man Miles Morales file size is smaller on PS5 than PS4. Earlier this month, Sony confirmed that Spider-Man Miles Morales would launch on PlayStation 4 as well as PlayStation 5. But what might be even more surprising than this is that Insomniac's upcoming web-slinging adventure will actually take up less space on PS5 than it will on PS4. According to the PlayStation Store listing spotted by users on Reset Era, Spider-Man Miles Morales weighs in at a pretty chunky 50 gigabytes on the next-gen PlayStation. The PS4 version, meanwhile, requires 52 gigabytes. It's hardly the most mind-blowing difference. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So 50 gigabytes for Miles is we're talking about right there.
Exactly. Like, that's kind of my measure these days. When I think of installing a game, there's going to be plenty of games like probably Bugsnax, and maybe it is 50 gigabytes, but it'll probably be like 10 gigs or 5 gigs. I have no idea. But
to bring it up here right now, what we're talking about with Astro, to spell it out right, is 19 gigabytes of space is what's going up for Astro, right?
So, yeah.
No,
but
18.
Just,
I did my math. No. It's 667 gets down to 648. That's, yeah, you got
it's about 20 gigs. Yeah, you're right. It's.
What the hell is wrong with
it? 19. Yeah. Yeah. But what I was getting at is, if you assume that a lot of them are going to be 50, because there's probably going to be a few that are over or have big expansions, like you're talking Call of Duty, but that's still about a dozen. It's a dozen games or so that you can install in this usable space. So for me personally, if you have a good internet connection, I don't think that's crazy for starters. I think that the SSD is a reasonable size.
I mean, to bring this to more, I think what's interesting, obviously, is we played around with these numbers. 20 gigabytes for Astro's Playroom. All right, it's a demo installed on the thing. Great. Miles Morales, a shorter Spider-Man game. We're talking about 50 gigabytes. I have here, of course, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, right? This is from callofduty.com. In order to preload Black Ops Cold War, you must have the following free drive space on your platform. PlayStation 5, 133 gigabytes. So that's this is one of those, your mileage may vary, and depending on who the developer is, what they're doing, how big the game is, how many things are happening under the hood, it's going to be this sliding scale, obviously, as you push around and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, but I think it's unlikely that you'll have 12 games that you're playing that are 100 gigabytes. And you've experienced it now, Greg, do you think, you know, quick resume and the speed of switching between games is going to really expose this as one of the biggest needed upgrades for the future, right? Like, in other words, we're used to a world where it's like, well, I'm only playing this one game and then I gotta close it and I'm waiting for it to start up and blah blah blah. So, like, kind of, I feel personally by nature there's that, like, I'm not just gonna switch in and like finish a round of golf in this one other game, because I'm like, 90 seconds is too much for me to wait. But if it goes down to 10 seconds, so do you think that's going to expose this as not enough space out the gate?
It's one of the many things that is hard for any pundit, I think, to talk about, any personality to come out and talk to you about and have an opinion on. Because, again, my opinion is different than Fran's opinion is different than Lakers head 2432 in the chat's opinion. And it's because, how do you play games and what do you do, let alone what games are you playing? I think where it gets into a more interesting state of, is this enough space? How do you feel about it? So on and so forth. Isn't even the launch lineup as much as, how many games are you not getting rid of, right? Like, I think about my PlayStation 4, right? And I had multiple PlayStation 4s getting pushed around. And inevitably, it would always be Fortnite on there. Now I would say, going forward, until they kill it, of course, it'll always be Avengers on there, because I want to be able to drop in. I want to be able to go. It used to be always DC Universe Online on there. It used to be, for a long time, The Division always on there.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about games that, am I going to be playing these every day? Am I marathoning them every weekend? No,
but
I know there's going to be nights where somebody drops me a line. It's like, oh man, I really want to play Avengers. Do you want to? Yeah, sure. I have it ready to go. That's where you get into this. How much are you storing on the hard drive at any time? Then tacking on the big thing. Sorry, Frank, go ahead.
But that's perfect, though. It's a perfect segue. So based on that kind of thinking, and maybe where you're still getting used to it, but do you think 12 games about is enough? You know,
Miller,
plenty. Yes. Yeah, for you.
For Greg Miller, it's
not for
fine.
Everybody else. For you.
For Greg Miller, it's fine, because the way I play games is that I have a few things that are standbys that are always there. But then the majority of the time, it is I bring in a game, I play through that game, I delete that game after I've either platinumed it or I'm just done with it. And I am very big on, you know, I know, of course, there's expandable storage for all these, not even the internal stuff, right? The whole, you know, connect it to the external drive that you can't play off of, but you can transfer your stuff back and forth to. So you could be moving your games around that way. For me, it's the thing of, I'm going to be clearing these things out. And I guess as we go forward, if there's more games that, not even I guess that I'm looking to play as a games as service thing, maybe I'm not getting through. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I assume Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to be hundreds of hours. I assume Assassin's Creed Valhalla is going to be like Assassin's Creed Odyssey and be more than 100 hours of my time that I did platinum and I did do all the DLC for, but I also didn't do that in one sitting. That was spread out for a long, long period of time.
Yeah.
Now, in the same way, I'm big on, and this is a PlayStation thing, I'm big on, you know, making sure my saves are always synced to the cloud, and I delete games all the time, and I re-download stuff all the time. I've downloaded Bloodborne so many times, and I haven't played Bloodborne. And it's that thing, I download it, and I get rid of it. And Days Gone, which will come up later in the news, right? I reviewed it, and then I downloaded it, and then I deleted it, and I downloaded it, and I played a little bit, and I deleted it. Like, I get to play with that thing of not having great internet in San Francisco and not worrying about my data cap and moving games around that way personally, where for me, it isn't that big of a deal that in reality, if it was, hey, Greg, do you want to play Division with us tonight? And I'd be like, yeah, you know what I do? And I'd be like, give me the 20 minutes it's going to take for that to download while I make food or walk Porty or whatever, and I'll be able to jump in there.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. Like, it's reasonable is the word I would use and I think that's where Sony landed on the cost, right? Like, at the end of the day, so let's call it the 650 gigs of supposed space, is not going to be enough, I think, for most people in the long run. It's just not. It never is, even on my current PlayStation, because I'm like you. I want to have stuff there so I don't have to re-download it. And yeah. I want that. It's really a bummer when you have something like, yeah, I mean, maybe Assassin's Creed Fuse is the perfect example. It's like, oh, man, I might do that at some point, but I don't want to uninstall like 60 gigs or whatever. Right. So you leave it there. And then when you go to reinstall, it becomes a problem. So people are going to really either want to buy a new PlayStation 5 a year or two from now with more space, or they're going to want to handle that upgrade. And I think maybe that's the next quick topic here, which is like installing, you know, a new, once we get a certified NVMe Gen 4, I believe, drive that Sony says this will definitely, you know, work. It's compatible, because I think there's plenty out there, but they got to certify and make sure that it's going to work. And then you just plug it in. But yeah. Who's going to open up the box and do that?
Fran, so you
I will. Once they approved one, I remember when, you know, we got PlayStation 4s, the first thing I did when I got back to San Francisco with mine was install a new laptop drive in it, which is not something I'm, I feel comfortable doing. It wasn't hard. This is way easier, right? Of like, you've seen it slide it off, unscrew the one thing and pop the thing in, and then you're done, apparently.
Yeah, think it will be, I was just going to say, like, do we think putting in one that isn't, like, deemed, like, oh, yeah, this is the best one for it, like, is that going to break it? Probably not, right?
It's funny that
won't run as fast.
Yeah, and, I mean, you bring up a good point. Because
I got
think
a 1 terabyte one I might stick in there just for funsies.
Yeah, yeah, I think people are going to start testing this on their own pretty fast.
Oh, yeah, sure. Same,
you could just buy one and then go for it. I can't imagine, unless the PlayStation has something in it in the OS that would keep it from being recognized.
Is it not a speed thing? I joke around and I give PC gaming such a hard time. For real, when we get into specs like this, I'm totally out of my element in terms of what I talk about with gaming. So like, isn't the read write speeds? I'm looking at Push Square right now. They have a guide about like what's going on with SSDs. And I'm going to read this paragraph, right? Mm-hmm. Wondering why Sony hasn't announced any compatible drives yet? That's because the PS5 will require drives to meet its expected performance levels that current drives simply do not meet. It's expected that the internal SSD will operate at around 5.5 gigabytes per second bandwidth, which is far above the levels possible using a current generation PCIe 3.0 drive available today, as they peak at about 3.5 gigabytes per second. However, PCIe 4.0 NVMe drives are coming to the market soon this year. Obviously, this has been written, and should offer upwards of about 7 gigabytes per second bandwidth. The downside is that these drives will be expensive. Naturally, over time, prices will fall, but don't expect to upgrade to a 2 terabyte drive anytime soon without considerable cost.
Interesting. But like, you can always connect like a hard drive to it, right? And use that for like long-term storage. Like if you don't want to delete it and it's slightly faster to transfer. I mean, depending on your home speeds, it'll be faster to transfer from a store, you know, the game from a hard drive to your hard drive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how that works on the new PlayStation, but I assume, yeah, you can also just plug in like a 6 terabyte.
Right.
You can USB totally do an external.
Yeah,
you can't play your games off of it. You can't play PS5 games off of it. You can transfer them back and forth. You can play backwards compatible PS4 games off of that.
But if you're if you don't have access to like super fast internet, or if you don't if you can't afford, because like what, like most data caps are like 1.5 terabytes, and with the amount of streaming you do in a 100 gig game, let's say 50, that's eating a lot of space. So it's one of those things that like, you could theoretically save it on there, transfer it over, and then not have to worry about downloading it again.
Yeah, no, and I think a lot of people are going to consider that.
Yeah.
Because copying from there to, and I don't know how long that's going to take, but yeah, like you bring up a good point. If you don't have super blazing internet, you can't rely on it, you're probably going to want that as a connected backup. And so there are solutions. Again, I think it comes back to like, look, a dozen or so games is pretty reasonable. It's not, I wouldn't call it skimpy, right? And it roughly matches what you got going on with Xbox, although there's definitely more space in there. You're going to be able to hit another 4 or 5 games on your Xbox, it sounds like, and have them installed and ready to go. But yeah, I think eventually it comes down to how much, if I just want to buy a new 2 terabyte, you know, NVMe Gen 4 SSD, they are actually pricier than you realize. And once you start looking them up, that's when you'll be like, right, now I kind of get why there's only, you know, 800 or so gigs, a terabytes of space in here. So
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that nets out and how fast it gobbles up. Because, again, for me, thinking ahead, right, obviously I have a PlayStation 5. Obviously, I can't talk about anything that I haven't talked about yet. But it is that thing of, yeah, when it is cool, I have Fortnite on. Thank you, Kevin. I don't know if you needed to toss up the PlayStation 5 disclosure, but I love that you did. when it is that I have Avengers on there, I have Valhalla on there, I have Fortnite on there. How much space does that eat up, knowing they'll be around forever, and then start tossing in? I also have Sackboy on there. I also have Demon's Souls on there. I also have Cardo on there. And you just go that way, right?
You will blow by, you know, the 650
totally
gigs, because, like, actually, yeah, it's fine. I looked up on my PC where I have an SSD.
There we fucking go. I knew it.
But I looked and I was like, I have, like, everything from Among Us to Phasmophobia to Destiny to Apex. Yeah. I have Star Wars Squadron installed. I haven't played it yet. It's sitting there. I have, long story short, I mean, it's over a terabyte right now because I don't have to worry about it.
Totally. And that's why I'll probably put expandable storage into the PS5 eventually.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be like, oh, which one's approved? That's kind of expensive. But then, it, you know, wait for it to come down a little bit and pop it in.
Yeah.
What's too expensive?
What's it now? You figure for the storage? Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on one second. The Xbox storage is $220, right? $220 mm-hmm. to get 1 terabyte for the back of the Xbox.
Yeah.
And this one over here?
So this one on Amazon for 1 terabyte is $200.
If you want, is that approved?
No, right?
Because none of these approved. Nothing's approved yet. Yeah.
But this is a Gen 4 mm-hmm. M.2.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're going to be in $200 for 1 terabyte. Upward, probably with these certified ones, you're going to be upwards of $400 for 2 terabytes, maybe $350 right now with the way it prices. So that's what you're looking at. So once they certify it, you know, $500 for the PlayStation, and then what? Are you going to throw away the 650 gigs right away and just spend $350 on 2 terabytes so you don't have to worry about it? I would assume most people will not be doing that right away.
I got this thing. I got a Fire CUDA 510 SSD PCIe G3 X4 NVMe. Would that probably work?
Why do you have that?
That sounds
don't
like
ask
a Gen,
questions.
That sounds like a Gen 3, Greg. Like, so
is that good or bad?
It's not going to be fast G3. Enough, right? Is that's the because I have a Gen 3 too. I have a I think like a two maybe one
Throwing
or two
this
terabytes.
Thing away.
You, it's
no,
not
don't.
Yeah.
Why do you have that?
It probably won't work, Greg. But I don't know. G3 may not mean Gen 3. I don't know what that model is. We'd have to look it up. But I guess the point is, are you worried about the 650 gigs or not, Greg?
I'm not worried at all. No. What I always say is that, you know, when I got the PlayStation 4, the first thing I did was put in a bigger hard drive, and that was great. And then when I bought a PS4 Pro, I never thought about it. And yeah, I ran out of space here and there, and I would go through and be like, oh, what are these? I'm never going to play this. I'm never going to play this. Because I'm that kind of guy where I'm downloading stuff like with the best intentions eventually getting to it, and then I never do. And so you come to something like this and I delete it. Yeah. And I think maybe if it starts getting there and I start bumping up hard against it with this one, maybe it is that, okay, cool, well, all my backwards compatible games I'm just going to put onto this hard drive and have it next to it that way, or see how much this thing is.
Yeah,
or what, you know,
I want to know.
Ones that are approved are.
The cool
that's
thing.
That's the last number we need right now is how long does it take to transfer 50 gigs from an external hard drive? Because you might find yourself in a position where if that's reasonably fast, that actually is way more bang for your buck, obviously. Get you know, a 12 terabyte hard drive for, you know, a lot less, and you can have way more games on the ready.
And you're wrong, Charles Jacobson, not saying we're wrong, but points out that Reset Era has information saying Demon's Souls is 66 gigabytes. So there you go.
Yeah.
Not too bad. And also, while we're here, we'll toss this in. I referenced it already. We do have breaking news on what the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War preloading file size update and confrontation weapon pack details are all about.
You gotta scare people. Talking
well, hey,
Call
man.
Call of Duty install sizes, Greg.
They don't like it too bad. That's what it is. if you launched I'm reading from callofduty.com where I already did in the same article. If you pre-order the game digitally, you can preload it to ensure it's ready at launch. No matter what platform you pre-order on, you'll get 2 free weapon blueprints available the second you start the game through Confrontation Weapons Pack. They have the pack information, then preloading details. Preloading will be available in the coming days before the game's November 13th launch on all platforms, including next-gen consoles once they arrive. PS4 preloading will be November 5th at 9 p.m. Xbox One will be November 5th at 9 p.m. PC will be November 10th at 10 a.m. Next-gen consoles, they'll be preloading available on the dates that they actually drop, obviously, so you can get into it. Mm-hmm. File sizes for preloads look like this. This is how much you need to have free space on your thing. PlayStation 4 is 95 gigabytes. PlayStation 5 is 133 gigabytes. Xbox One is 93 gigabytes. Xbox Series X/S is 136 gigabytes. PC is PC is 35 gigabytes for multiplayer only, 82 gigabytes for full game, 125 for full game on ultra graphics.
Okay. So it sounds to me, I was like, what does that entail with the console installs? It sounds like it is about the, call it 85 gigs of, you know, the main game and all that, plus the multiplayer. And I think Warzone is packed in with that. Or is that yet another add-on on top of that multiplayer? There's so
this
many.
This article here doesn't do it, and I haven't paid enough attention to Call of Duty this year.
Call of Duty is, I think, if you read between the lines, though, you're hearing it. Call of Duty's, call it the core games, a little closer to 85. But yeah, you tack on a big multiplayer mode, that's another 20 some gigs, whatever. Demon Souls is 66 gigs, apparently. Spider-Man is 50-ish, and so on. So my main point there when I did the math of saying about a dozen games is you're going to have some games that are not 60 gigs. You're going to have some games that are 100. You're going to have some that are 5. And I would hope you, again, I'd stand by about a dozen games, I think, is very reasonable, and you can expect that to work without it like overloading.
In the Twitch chat, the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting headshot nitro rifle from twitch.tv. Andy Cortez says, in fact, Warzone is a separate download, so that is not included in the big old download you got going on there.
You're gonna break 150 gigs if you like Call of Duty, but
yeah, you love Call of Duty. That's your machine now. That is your hard drive.
Yeah, maybe you want to get this replacement toot sweet then.
Let's get out of this hard drive nerd stuff and get to Fortnite. Number two on the Roper Report, Fortnite looks like it's giving away Disney Plus. This is Jenny Zhang over at GameSpot. According to a data miner, a Fortnite and Disney Plus collaboration is coming our way. Twitter user Vass Blast found evidence of the partnership by digging through the latest Fortnite patch, V14.50. As stated by the text Vass Blast found, players will receive a free 2-month subscription to Disney Plus as long as they purchase V-Bucks or anything in the item shop using real-world money. The perk's exact terms and conditions are unknown, and we'll have to wait until Epic releases an official statement. Fran, is there nothing Fortnite won't touch?
Yeah, I mean, they already have a good relationship on all the Marvel.
Their entire season's Marvel themed. Yeah, they have a pretty good relationship with Disney on that end.
Yeah, so I mean, it kind of checks out on that front. It's also now, you know, it's the holiday season, Mandalorian season 2's out, etc. They're gonna want some big promotions. So yeah, I kind of wonder if this came from Disney side on this, right, where they said maybe, wait, how do we take advantage of the relationship? You think it might come from the Disney side more than like Fortnite being like, man, How do we get more people into Fortnite? We give them Disney Plus.
I think it's one and the same. You know how these calls go, and not even for some, obviously not a business call this big, but like calls when we do any kind of thing like collaboration or you want to work with somebody. And so for Fortnite, we say, you know, they have this great relationship. Look at the Marvel season. Obviously, they had stuff before then with the Thanos, you know, Avengers crossover they did years ago now. The costumes and all that jazz. I would imagine as they started talking together of what working more closely could be and entail, you imagine something like this comes up of like a cool benefit for both of them. Obviously a huge benefit for Disney Plus, a streaming platform with a whole bunch of other streaming platforms to fight. Hey, you put this out there to the biggest game going with all these different people involved, get them to come in, get the kids to redeem it, to show it to their parents or whatever so they can come in and get this app. That's great. But then also for as a Fortnite person, as an Epic person, you want to sit there and give as much benefit to your audience as possible, right? And I think that's what we see time and time again with how they're treating Fortnite and how Epic is trying to, I think, use their ginormous size for good.
Yeah, and it's about a $14 value, I guess, because I think it's about $7 a month for Disney Plus still. So it's certainly, you know, it's nothing to scoff at. It's pretty decent, and especially if all you want to do is, you know, burn through the Mandalorian. Wait, is the Mandalorian all out at once? Are they doing it's weekly again?
Yeah, will Thursday 2 months, Friday morning.
It shouldn't be more than 8 episodes, right? So,
Kevin, you're the leader of the screencast.
Do we know, Kev? How many episodes is Mandalorian? Season 1.
Hold on. He's running back to his computer.
10
he's running
or back to 8, his somewhere around there.
Wouldn't That's it great. Be... here, I'm going to look it up while we're chatting here. But
I made some delicious Montreal bagels today with cream cheese, and I used some of the smoked salmon on it. And I hate that even after you wash your hands so aggressively, your hands smell like smoked
salmon.
That's
why you have to wear the gloves.
Like a real chef?
That. Yeah. Well, black.
Okay,
gloves.
So it, you know, 8. It was looking about 8, and people are saying this one. Do we know if This one will definitely be it. But that's, there you go. You could actually literally just sign up, get that promotion. If this, you know, comes to fruition, it is just currently leaked data mined information. So you never know the accuracy of that. But
how far do you think? Do you think they push even further than this? Do you think that you see Fortnite in Disney parks eventually?
Oh yeah, that's a. I think absolutely. Well, not absolutely. I think it could start small. You know, maybe they have some crossover. But yeah, like that's got to be a question Epic's been asking. Is like, how do they get more into that side of things too? You know, bigger in real world stuff. That, because I mean, Fortnite is just massive, and how are they going to expand it, you know, outside of creating Fortnite 2 or whatever it's going to be, you know?
I mean, I think they keep shaking it up with seasons like these and bringing in the IP kids care so much about, like Ghostbusters, and there you go.
They do need to get Ghostbusters in there, man.
They already got Ghostbusters.
Oh, they...
That happened the week before Halloween. I was making a joke to, yeah, this, all right, you get your Ecto Glider out there right now, your Proton Pack back bling. I got it all, Fran. I got it all.
I am so behind on Fortnite. I still really appreciate yourself what a streamer. Fortnite is, but... I suck at Fortnite so bad now that I cannot just, it's one of those games for me personally that if I hop into Fortnite, man, it's like kind of fun at first, but especially on PC, there's so many high skill players that I'm getting destroyed and I'm going to need to spend like the next like week just in that game. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'll play some Warzone.
Understandable.
Or some Among Us or whatever. Yeah.
Real quick, Kevin, did you turn on your mic just to clang your ice cube around the cup and then turn it off?
No. I was gonna say
wind chime out there, just blowing in the breeze.
I was gonna say some stuff, but then I was like, it's no point. There's no point.
Number three on the Roper Report: Yakuza Like a Dragon reviews are up. The roundup looks like this right now on Metacritic, or at least when I assembled this, it's an 84. GameSpot gave it a 9.0. Michael Haim over there, who is a great person in rooms with a terrible person, wrote for RG. GG Studios first crack at an RPG. It's a damn fine result. It delivers what I love most about Yakuza and introduces new ideas that largely pay off. Ichiban isn't doing it alone either. He has friends and mentors, ones who've helped him fight and overcome personal tragedies. It was an absolute thrill to watch him grow, and that's what's most important for a game so focused on its characters. Yakuza, Like a Dragon, is a passing of the torch and a fantastic entry into a beloved franchise that proves it's in good hands with Ichiban. Games Radar gave it a 4.5 out of 5. There, Hiron Cryer wrote, Yakuza Like a Dragon impressively builds off the Switch to an RPG in style, providing an excellent combat system supported by lovable characters and a tantalizing main storyline with meaningful side quests. Meanwhile, IGN.com gave it a 7. Tristan Olivi, yes, thank you very much. I haven't thought of that in a long time. Hey, Tristan, by the way. Hey, gave it a 7 and writes, Yakuza Like a Dragon's colorful turn-based combat, engaging lead characters, and detail-rich setting make for a refreshingly different and mostly thrilling installment in the long-running Japanese crime series. However, pathfinding annoyances and a number of escalating difficulty spikes in its closing chapters made completing its story feel like much more of a repetitive slog than any of the previous games. While I applaud the developers for daring to transform its established brawling into a more tactically complex team-based battles, the grueling progression system it brings along with it means that Yakuza Like a Dragon ultimately takes some bold steps in a new direction for the series, but neglects to completely maintain its balance. And then, not on Metacritic at all, didn't give a scored review, but put out a tweet. Brittany Brombrocker from What's Good Games, the biggest Yakuza fan I know, wrote, I'm 30 hours into Yakuza Like a Dragon, parentheses, I'm nowhere near finished, I'm taking my sweet time. While there are some expected growing pains that come along with giving a franchise like Yakuza an RPG makeover, or JRPG makeover, it works. The characters have really grown on me as well as Yokohama. Fran, what is your interest level in Like a Dragon?
I always have to tell people that I'm just setting you up. I like a surprisingly big variety of games, but you will not see me play a big variety of games because I just don't have the time. My backlog is horrible. So interest-wise, I would totally be down to play this for a bit. I don't think I would like this game in particular. I would just want to like burn through all at once, you know? But it sounds kind of fun, but I've never had the time to really get into Yakuza. Is the short answer. What about you, Greg? Are you much of a Yakuza player or fan?
I was back in the day. If you remember, I did all the reviews for IGN, where I was the guy who would go through, and when I started there and it first started coming over, I would go off and do the reviews. And I burned out over time because Yakuza, they were so many of Yakuza's, and then I stopped reviewing them. It was kind of like a move on thing. But me and the former informer Imran Khan have, of course, played a bit of Yakuza Like a Dragon. Just to preview, you can go to kindoffunny.com/Yakuza to watch that. I'm making the redirect right now as I talk to you. A-K-U-Z-A.
Well done.
Yakuza. Yeah, it's just a preview. It's not a review like these at all. But what I saw from it, I was intrigued by and want to get back to it. I think right now in the holiday rush and review season and the other reviews I'm working on that are all redacted, and embargoed, I don't have to. We have a code. I have it on my Xbox Series X. It was one of those that I would have loved to have gotten deep into, but I'm in a million other games right now. I do expect to make time for this. I think this is going to be a December jump in and try it. Because what I'm right there with Brittany and what I think it was Michael talking about of. I was like, oh, JRPG, I don't know if I'm going to dig that. And then you get into it. It is still the over-the-top crazy of Yakuza. But the characters themselves and this foursome that they're building in this team, I did in the couple, I think I spent like 2 hours with it, really was like, man, they're cool. And I like what they're up to. And I like who they are. I want to see how their story unfolds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think especially for Yakuza fans, it's a refreshing sort of surprise, like Tristan was saying. So I think that's, I don't know if people didn't expect it to be good or as good as it is, and maybe that's part of the story here. It feels like that's what I'm hearing, but reading some of these quotes, but I know the franchise is storied at this point and has a lot of fans, so I think for them for sure. But for me, like, if you let's say Final Fantasy VII Remake just came out and this came out at the same time, like, I'm definitely more the type, I'm like, I would want to play the Final Fantasy VII Remake if I had to choose.
Understandable.
To put it in those terms.
Like I said, kindoffunny.com/Yakuza if you want to see it in action and we talk over it. But, of course, reviews up all over the place. Number four on the Roper Report. Among Us is adding a new map, account system, and more. This is Jordan Olleman over at IGN. Look at Fran, everybody. Inner Sloth has pushed an update to Among Us and outlined a small roadmap for future content with a new map, an account system, and colorblind support on the way. A new developer blog post on the Among Us news hub over on Steam mentions that Inner Sloth is working on an account system set to arrive as early as December, which will let players report toxic or hacking accounts, with friends list to follow after that. The team is also hard at work on a free new map, which is apparently bigger than Polis, and features brand new task types, is themed after Henry Stickmin, and will be free to all players. Professional translators into multiple languages... Oh, I'm sorry. Professional translations into multiple languages are also in the pipeline, as well as full-blown colorblind support. The latest update has brought bug fixes and anonymous voting to the game, which marks every vote as gray to obscure voting intention and makes ejections even more mysterious. Taskbar modifiers have also been added to Among Us options, with meeting mode making it so the taskbar only updates during a meeting, or invisible mode, which removes the taskbar entirely. Inner Sloth also mentioned that it's working on dealing with cheating and hacking in the game. Quote, some cheats still work, and now there are bugs too. There will be more server updates to fix all of this, but rushing anti-hacks is what caused the bugs, so cleaning things up is a slower process. Also, rest assured that any threats made in the game are false, and your devices and data are safe. If you see a hacker, ban them or find a different room, the blog reads. Fran, you got excited when I read this, the headline. Now that you've heard it, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, obviously, a new map would go a long way because there's just not a ton of maps to play on in Among Us. It's a game that had been around for a while, kind of sitting there, and that just blew up. I believe they originally had said they wanted to make a sequel and very quickly turned and said, wait,
they were working on a sequel, yeah. And then when this blew up, they put up the thing of like, we're done with that. We're going to focus on updating this.
Yeah. So, we're starting to see the fruition of that.
Fran, do you play a lot of Polis?
A lot of what?
The other map. The second map, the big one.
Is it called Polis or whatever?
Something like that.
It's funny, I don't remember the map names. I would have to see.
Well, okay, but do you play just one map or do you play two maps? Because nobody plays
whatever
the third map.
Gary Whitta has me playing.
Oh, he's the worst.
Gary chooses.
Oh, you play with Whitty Gary. See, here's the thing. Like, the rules
it's
matter.
Wednesday. I got to throw him in.
The rules matter so much where it's like the way Gary plays. I'm not a big fan of, just because he doesn't have a place for the dead people to chat. He also doesn't. He utilizes the anonymous voting thing, and it's so much more fun when you can see who voted and
speculate.
As you're the person's someone's getting thrown out, you'd be like, but John voted for someone else. He's the killer.
Yeah. I have to say, I actually played with Gary for a couple hours, at least one night, and a whole crew. And, yeah, they had some different rules set up, but I don't know what happened. Like, I was in a particular mood, and I found myself always, like, finding all this evidence. And I was just, like, I was yelling all these facts over most of the call. And I felt bad because I had just hopped in with a bunch of players that I hadn't played with. Like, but long story short,
don't feel
he
bad.
Was to the point. You, he started, he was like, friend, you're me. Being, like, super alpha, but I have to say you've been right about all this stuff. So then what happened was I got imposter, and I totally, like,
you
got
play
quieter
that.
Because, well, I was busy.
Oh, and
I was
everyone
collecting.
Smelled it. Everyone said
and everybody was,
you got it.
Like, you're being awful quiet all of a sudden
important.
For knowing everything.
Yeah. I feel like it's super important to notice how you play when you're imposter and try to imitate that when you're not imposter.
Yes.
Man, I love this game. So I can't play. I can't wait to play on Saturday. We're going to
have
some fun.
A lot of people's in. I know. I love the wheezing. The wheezing laugh.
God, that was a new level.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm excited that there's going to be a new map. Like, that's going to be, I think it really does depend too, by the way, what have they done with the map, with the knowledge that, you know, how people are playing, what
sure.
they like,
yeah,
the cast
yeah.
they like, because what happens if they release a new map and people still just end up playing, you know, Polis or whatever, cause it's their fave. That does happen sometimes, but I have hope that, I mean, you're adding like 30%+ more map space to the game, so it'll be worth it.
And final on the Roper Report for the day, we have some information on Days Gone on PlayStation 5. Sony Ben tweeted this yesterday. If you're taking a ride on the broken road for the first time or finishing up New Game Plus, here's what you can expect when you boot up Days Gone on the PlayStation 5. Up to 60 frames per second with dynamic 4K and save transfers from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5. Go get them, Sony Ben. What?
Now, I'm excited for this, but actually, to be fair, it's a PS4 game that's just kind of getting some boost, right?
Yeah.
It's not like it's remastered. So we should remind people. But I'm like, I'm sighing a little bit because I'm like, man, like 60 FPS should not be something that we're chasing at this point with this level of hardware. We've talked about it a lot on the show, but I'm just like, you should be able to nail 60, and it doesn't. Yeah, dynamic 4K is good to hear, by the way, because my opinion is definitely you do not have to have pure native 4K on everything. It should not be the priority. Frame rate should be the priority. So, you know, we'll see how it runs. In other words, they should get it running at 80 FPS. So when it does drop, you don't see it, and it's locked and loaded. That's how we like it.
Remember, Days Gone is part of the PlayStation Plus collection. So if you're PlayStation Plus and you buy the PlayStation 5, you're going to get to download that and have all these benefits.
Yeah, I know we're running over, Greg, but actually,
no,
your
wrong.
Viewpoint of Days Gone, remember, I was on the show, Gamescast, you came back, it still had some bugs. You and Andrea, I think, were on that show.
Well, we reviewed it?
Yeah, you were sort of in this, like, yeah, you know, it was sort of like, maybe you'll like it, I don't know.
Oh, I didn't like Days Gone. No, I think it's bloated and too long.
Has it changed? Your opinion at all, like the changes, the improvements.
People, when it comes up, because there a whole bunch of people love Days Gone, and more power to you. Don't get me wrong. People always try to bring that up when I'm PS, I love you. I was like, you know what? I keep downloading it and then deleting it and downloading, and deleting it. Like I'd like to chip away at that platinum at some point. My complaints about Days Gone were never. Well, there were complaints that were technical issues, but they were never the main ones for me. It was always about Deacon. It was about the world, and I just didn't like how the side quests played into each other, or didn't for that matter. And all so, like, when I turned it back on and went back in, like, it's still a beautiful game. I didn't fall through the world like I did during review, but that again wasn't like my main crux of my argument about why I didn't like Days Gone. I thought it was just a bloated open world, and so
you probably still won't like it.
Yeah, exactly. And so months ago now, I had started it in, I was like, I'm gonna try to chip away at this, and I looked at like how many more fucking hives and nests I needed to do, and I was like,
yeah.
I don't want to do this, and I just delete it again.
You're more of a completionist, I think, and so you probably hit a lot of stuff. I know that's not the only thing, but I was surprised.
Days Gone is a game that should have is like 50 hours. It should have ended so much earlier. Like, it's just the storyline of it all. I just kept going.
Yeah,
and I was like,
full disclosure, I like the game so far, but yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I'm 30 hours in and I totally was feeling that. I'm like, man, this game is kind of long and maybe needed to be more compressed. But for what it's worth, I do like the world they created. I think it is a really
beautiful world.
Beautiful world. The soundtrack's beautiful. So yeah, maybe it's better played in little pieces, you know, for some folks.
That was something interesting that in the conversation since review and since launch, where there is this audience that just loves the game. And I do wonder if it wasn't a gun to my head, you have a week and a half or whatever it was to play through this game. Because I talked to other reviewers who aren't here to give their opinions, but I remember at the time talking to them, and they both being like, how is this still going? Like, there's a couple, like, not red herring endings, but you're like, all right, I remember putting Jen to bed and be like, I'm gonna beat it tonight. And then the next morning, I'm like, there's a whole nother area. Yeah, dude, there's more to do in this thing, which isn't bad, but then I didn't enjoy doing the things. My argument, right, was like how brain dead the enemies were, and how like you could run at them and they wouldn't shoot you, so you could just melee everybody to death in these camps. And it was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But you can go watch that review from back then. And then I also urge you to go read all the people who love the game and see if it would be something for you. Mm-hmm. Cause again, it's free if you got PlayStation Plus, so who cares? But it is that thing. I saw this and I'm like, I'm gonna fucking download this game again. I'm gonna download this game again and try to platinum it and fall off again. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing it at 60. It's kind of a
you'll never point. Finish this game. Prediction.
We'll see. I finished Red Dead, and
are we making a bet?
Yeah, sure. What do you want to bet?
You should. Let's make that bet, because I actually really do want to finish it, Greg.
See, then it's going to motivate you, and I hate that. That's the problem with the bets.
No. What else am I going to play on the PS5? The exclusives, I really...
What else are you going to play on PlayStation 5? Whatever you want to play. Avengers. Come on.
He's baiting you. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know what I mean?
Actually, Greg, it's not a bad bet, because I'll give you an easy one. I've not played Spider-Man yet. I've been waiting for PS5 now at this point. So, yeah. I know, Brian.
That I can't wait to play him again. Spider-Man Remastered? Come on.
Cannot wait. It's going to be awesome to experience it for the first time there. Anyway, this is a welcome upgrade. I hope we see more of this. We know Ghost of Tsushima as well as getting an upgrade like this. So can't wait to see more.
I can't wait to see more of this show. But before we get to that, let me tell you about our sponsors. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, let's talk about Quip. There are only two types of people in this world. Those of us who brush and floss every day, and those who just might start thanks to Quip's new refillable floss pack. You know Quip, the electric toothbrush you hear about all the time from us, but it's their sleek, reusable floss pick you'll want to use next. The durable handle is easy to guide, restrings with a click, and comes with a compact mirrored dispensing case for on the go. Plus, a single refill pod replaces over 180 single-use plastic flossers, so it's better for your teeth and the environment. Pair your floss with the perfect electric toothbrush for adults and kids. Quip has the simple guiding features you need, like the time sonic vibrations and guiding pulses to help you brush better. And now you can even get amazing rewards just for brushing your teeth every day. Quip also delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months for just $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the store. Bring delight to your everyday brushing and join over 5 million miles and brushing with Quip, starting at just $25. Remember, I legitimately love this stuff so much that I bought the toothbrush they're talking about that is Bluetooth, connects to the app on my phone, and it tracks my toothbrushing habits, Fran. And then what happens is it rewards me. I earn points that I can then put in. Let me make sure there's no personal information on here.
Probably. It's risky, Greg.
It's all outside before I swing it around. It's like, here's your address.
Put it in. Do not disturb.
Okay. It does that whole thing, and it tells you how long I've been brushing. What have I done?
Cover your face.
It's fine. You understand that I'm using last brush in beta. Is this? Yeah. It's saying I didn't. My coverage is in red on top and bottom there. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I like it. I'm earning points and I'm doing it. And I do use those plastic flossers and throw them away. And I feel really wasteful. And I didn't know about this until I read the ad. So I'm going to buy that. Anyways, like I was saying, if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. GETQUIP.com/games. Our next sponsor is DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings the food you're craving right now to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code GAMES. Don't forget, that's code GAMES for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Another app I use quite often. Last time we talked about it in an ad, I ended up getting wings. Will that happen again today? We will find out. Fran? I'm excited to see what I get for lunch. I know. I'm excited to see what I get for lunch. But lunch is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Switch and Shoot on Xbox One, Autobahn Police Simulator on Xbox One, Ord on Xbox One, Car Trader Simulator on PC, Pick Me Up Rescue Rangers on Switch, and Apex Legends Season 7 is out.
Woo.
New dates for you. Are you still playing Apex?
I jump in every now and then, but I'm more of a Warzone player. But I'm excited to check out the new map and everything. I think there's a new map.
Gotcha. New dates for you. Real Politics 2 is coming now to Steam Early Access November 18th. Override 2 Super Mech League is coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, Switch, PS4, PC, Xbox One, December 22nd. And then Ghost Runner is making its Switch debut November 10th. Deals of the day for you. GameSpot had this one. In honor of the series' five-year anniversary, publisher Raw Fury is giving away Kingdom for free on Steam until Friday, November 6th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Fran?
Yes, sir. I'm watching Autobahn Police Simulator videos.
Is it me or does that game get released every like 3 months? Maybe
they've been putting on a different platform. Yeah, no, they've been putting on different platforms. I think that's why we keep bringing it up.
It's like 5 years old.
We keep bringing it up.
I think.
Okay, I haven't heard of it before.
I think there's several.
I mean, it's just sort of a silly. Anyway, I just find the name somewhat funny.
Hilarious.
Fran, we ask people watching the show or listening to the show to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, chip in a few bucks, get to ask their questions, be part of the show, and squad up. This, of course, is where you give us your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Adam needs help on PlayStation 4 /crossplay, and Adam's username is Binding Fenrir. Mm-hmm. Binding, F-E-N-R-I-R.
The dog.
It's all one word. Fenrir? Fenrir?
Wait, F-E-N-R-I-R.
Yeah. Fenrir? Fenrir?
Fenrir.
Binding Fenrir. Binding Fenrir.
Yeah, it's the dog, right? That's the...
What dog? You keep saying that. I don't know what that dog is.
It had sex with Loki in Norse mythology.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right?
It's a
horse?
It's a wolf.
Here we go. Fenrir, yeah. Old Norse. Fen dweller.
Get Corey Barlog on
or
the phone. Explain
you know what I'm talking
Fenrir.
About, right? You've heard about this?
No, Loki's having sex with dogs?
Yeah, he like was pretending to be a horse to distract Fenrir, but it worked real well. You know what I'm saying?
It's a monstrous wolf in Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Fenrir, together with Hel and the World Serpent,
yep.
is a child of Loki and giantess Angarbua. He is attested in poetic Edda, compiled the 13th. I mean, he could be. You know what I mean?
Tweet it, Corey Barlog, and get him to explain this to us because you will.
I feel like I nailed it. I don't know why.
You just said you didn't nail it.
Well, but you're Jerry's out.
I'd really like to hear from what's
getting microwaved in the back there?
I don't know.
Yeah, Kevin, is your
thing.
Hot Pocket ready?
Thing.
What's going on?
No, we're going to tweet at Corey Barlog about
that. Hot Pockets are still golden. You know what I mean? You eat a Hot Pocket and it's like, man, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah.
Pretty good day.
But you burn the roof of your mouth. Like,
sure. No one's waiting. No one's waiting.
Yeah, nobody's waiting for a Hot Pocket. You know what I used to do? I would actually microwave it. And it'd be so steamy hot, I'd cut it open in half and I'd put it back in like the freezer, like a little open.
What the
open
fuck
to,
is
like,
wrong with you? You
because
can't,
it was
like,
a fast cool. It's a fast cool. No,
everybody,
no,
the tweet to Corey is out. So there you go. Please heart it. Corey Barlog, comma. Please, this is from Greg. Please explain Fenrir to us. Thank you. So we'll see what we can get out of him. That might be a
Did
follow-up
Did you spell it
tomorrow.
Fenrir?
I spelled it just, I mean, F-E-N-R-I-R.
Fenrir.
That's what I spelled.
Oh, okay.
Fenrir.
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 Adam needs help on PlayStation 4 crossplay Binding Fenrir. Hi all, Clubs is coming to Apex Legend in season 7. I will be starting a Kind of Funny club for anyone to join, new or old player, any platform. message me on PS4 or Reddit, where he's also Binding Fenrir, if you are interested in joining Fenrir the club. No, the club is limited to 30 players, so it looks like you're probably going to need more than one club there. But go get him, Binding Fenrir. You can find him on Reddit and, of course, the PlayStation 4. Just put in Binding Fenrir and you'll be fine. Everybody, you can all go to twitter.com/gameovergreggy/1324064321194741760 to see if Corey Barlog responds and explains Fenrir to us. Christ. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Yosemite writes in and says, not a you're wrong, but Jeffy Grub Grub did a transfer test from an external HDD to the internal SSD on his Xbox Series X preview hardware. He was able to transfer Assassin's Creed Origins, a 49 gigabyte install size, from an external USB HDD to the internal SSD in 7 minutes and 47 seconds. Transferring from the internal SSD to an external HDD took 10 minutes and 37 seconds. Seems reasonably fast, and faster than re-downloading. Depends where you live, but yes, that's good.
Wait, so it was about 10 minutes for how many? Do we know the gigabytes?
50 gigabytes.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's faster than downloading it.
Well, it depends on the internet.
Nanobiologist, who's a big Disney fan, says, with regards to Fortnite in the parks, Disney has been known to do special merchandise deals with outside people as sponsors and special merchandise. There is never any crossover or representation except for the occasional pop-up shop in Disney Springs or Downtown Disney. But never say never is what I say.
Disney World does, what's that one place called? Avatar Land, right? Pandora?
Yeah, I think so.
So we can have four Fortnite Land.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's possible, yeah. Is all I'm saying.
But
they're going to need numbers once they open back up. You know what I mean? Sure, it's scary for them.
You're not Corey Barlog. I don't want to know.
Let's leave Fenrir to
tell me. I will only be listening to answers about Fenrir from Corey Barlog. All right. So that's what I'm waiting on. I see Mitch Dyer in my responses trying to explain
this right now. Here in the chat, a bunch of dum-dums were like, oh, Disney owns Pandora. Disney owns Avatar. Now, not when they struck the deal. Okay. You idiots. God, I'm tired of your shit. Talk about my vacuum some more. I dare you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get Kevin to the post show over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. That's where the show doesn't stop. And of course, you can get the entire show ad-free. You can ask questions over there too. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, thank you for your support. Consider like, subscribe, sharing, all that jazz on the platforms you don't use, you know. Keep the whole world spinning kind of thing. Fran and I got a post show to do. Fran, when are you streaming again on twitch.tv/fm3_?
Pretty much every night after 9 p.m. Pacific time or so.
Is it true you drink yourself into oblivion every night while you play?
Not every night. It's 50% of the time. Especially this week for sure.
Yeah. See what happens tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.